$18 to see Wolverine's ass in IMAX. It's GRD's Weekly.
Indeed it is, and welcome.
Hugh Jackman is good looking, but when he's Wolverine and he's all veiny, it's too much.
Okay.
That ass.
I don't think Pip said the same thing.
No, she didn't. I think she said, I'll watch that again.
In the Batman voice, too.
Oh, she did. She got very smoky, sultry when she was talking about that. She's like, it was just like, oh, and you know, in the boom was like, oh, I didn't really care for seeing his ass. Oh, but I did.
Yeah.
Like,
whoa. Yes.
Whoa. And she went from the kid voice to that. It was crazy. Hi, by the way.
Hi.
And welcome to episode
226.
You sure?
I'm pretty sure.
So close. We're so close. And, you know, we're the fine folks at GeekRadioDaily.com. You know, you follow us on Facebook and all those other kinds of places that we may be or may not be. You never can tell. We're like weirdos that way. So, the woman with the gift here tonight, it's the Flintstress.
Toad has a wicked tongue, just like you.
Hey now.
Hey. Okay.
How you doing? The man with the flawless logic, it's the Bruce.
It's me. Prove it. You're a dick.
Okay.
Well, there you go.
It does work.
I'm the guy that can answer any question at all. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Well, I am psychic, you know.
Well, come on.
You are so psychic, but not psychic enough to like make us money.
No, unfortunately not. That's
great.
It's a shame it works that way. If you need to randomly call me on a Tuesday and want to know where your glasses are, I can tell you.
Yes.
Probably, but
you can tell that there was a lottery drawing, but not what the numbers were.
Okay. So what have you been doing, Geeky? Yeah?
Tons of stuff. And some of them I even managed to write down. Okay,
two minutes ago.
Yeah. I know, right? Hey, so world, guess what? We finally saw Frozen. We're like the only people in the world who hadn't seen the movie Frozen.
I haven't seen it.
Oh, okay. Well, it was fun, but I wish that we had seen it before it was like super overhyped.
God, I wish we'd been hipster about it.
I wish we'd seen it before it was cool. But no, I mean, so it was definitely fun. I thought the animation was good. You know, we knew it was a musical, and so I've already heard that song like a gazillion million times.
Yeah, you might have heard that song before, yeah.
Once or twice, but it was cute. It was nice, and it's not a spoiler since it's been out for like a really long time, but like how it didn't take a romantic love to break the spell. It was just love, you know?
So, exciting and new.
Love. So that was nice. It was like, I don't need a man to save the day.
No.
You know?
Mm-mm. No.
Mm-mm. So it was pretty fun.
So yeah, but it is one of those things where it's like, because you've heard so much about it, it's not as good as that, but it's definitely a fun. So,
Kristen Bell was good in it, some good quips, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's funny where it's definitely vaguely European. At one point, somebody says something French, but it kind of looks a little German, and it kind of looks a little English.
A little Busch
British.
Gardens.
It's definitely Busch Gardens. So that's they'll have no problem making Disney World rides and stuff for Frozen.
So you enjoyed this enough?
I did.
Okay,
yeah.
So then you're ready to watch some My Little Pony then?
What?
The humor on this is very much the way My Little Pony is.
It's the voices of My Little Pony that bother me,
okay.
I think.
All right. Yeah. Nobody sounds like that. That's Beaker. That's Beaker that sounds like that.
That's the
like
Muppets.
That.
Oh, my God. Let's go. And I don't know. It's just annoying. Just because I can't do it doesn't mean it doesn't hurt my ears.
Apparently,
do you've
been listening
sauce.
To something
What's
else.
Applesauce and sound? Apple Jacks? What does she sound like? Hey, y'all.
No, it's
We're gonna
Apple.
Go pick some apples.
It's Apple Dumpling Gang. That's the name.
Oh, wow. That's something completely different. Yeah.
Whatever.
Okay.
Their voices are annoying. So
great
we've been
show.
We've been working on catching up on Arrow. We're not caught up yet. We're on, what, episode 14, I think?
We're close to wrapping up the second season.
Okay.
We're not that far to go.
It's like 20-some in the second season. But yeah, we're getting closer to that. And it's definitely a show that has sort of found its legs. The Scooby Gang is growing. You know, we definitely have more people. It's only a matter of time before like all of the primary characters know who he is.
Sure.
He's really not very good at keeping a secret.
Well,
and
no,
he's wearing this
no.
like little half eye mask, and he's not always standing in the shadows. And I just want to be like, hello.
Okay. Dick Grayson wore the same mask, standing with nothing over his head but that mask was the only thing there, in a red, green, and yellow outfit, saying, "Look at me!" And nobody knew who
I'm
the hell he
fabulous.
Was.
Well, that
I mean, that just screamed,
me.
"Look at me!"
It bothers me when you're supposed to be a detective.
But the voice is different.
Smart.
The voice is different.
You're supposed to be a district
attorney. Oliver Queen
attorney.
Doesn't sound like that.
No, it doesn't.
No,
no.
It looks exactly like him.
But it doesn't sound like that.
And
so
it's somebody that he sees. They
mask.
See him every day, and you know, one of these days he's going to mix up the cell phones. He's going to answer the wrong cell phone. And be like, hello? Oh, hey, detective, it's Ollie.
See, that's why you need Alfred.
And nobody calls
He's
him Ollie.
He's really good at keeping up with it. Tons of people call him Ollie.
Who calls him Ollie?
Like the last episode, he was called Ollie by like three different people.
I guess.
Okay, you can watch it again. It's fine. You know, okay. We'll see. All right.
Well, cool.
But somewhere there's got to be a website. Have you seen the Flash episode?
We've seen
the one where he gets struck by
where
he becomes Flash. Okay.
So he's in a coma.
Okay,
that's as much as you see of him this season.
Okay,
yeah,
that's fine.
Okay,
that's fine.
It's like a non-spoiler.
Yeah, you're gonna see a couple other people that are gonna be on that show.
Oh, I've heard names.
Yeah,
I've heard names.
But, we've already seen what's her name from the squad.
Yeah,
Suicide Squad.
Yeah, Amanda Waller shows up.
Yeah,
she's like, we're
surprisingly thin.
Yeah, I was like, okay.
That's TV.
I'm thinking more, CCH Pounder than
get Pam Grier back.
Yeah, really?
Shirley.
Yeah.
From What's Happening?
No, from Community. There's a
Community.
Not all black women are Shirley that are Shirley Hipful.
Still, it would work, though.
It would totally work. Because
she can pull off evil, too.
Other than that.
Aw, damn.
Except for what?
Except she's dead. Shirley Hipful.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh.
Oh, so you wanted hot chocolate that was hot. You should have ordered hot chocolate.
What?
Hot chocolate.
That's right. So if I wanted a hot dog that was actually hot, I'd have to order a hot dog. Now you're getting it.
It's better than What's Happening Now.
Well, was it?
Yeah, true.
Nothing's happening now.
Oh damn. That's cold.
All right.
Seinfeld. Nothing's happening. Anyway, you know the show about nothing?
I do. I'm aware.
Yeah, we've heard it.
Black Seinfeld. Okay, just kidding. And
wow. If it was the 70s, it'd be Blackfeld. So there it is.
We also watched, I've only seen one episode of it, but you've seen all the episodes of this last week with John Oliver show on HBO.
Yeah, I've seen a few of these episodes, a few bits from it, yes.
My gosh, is it funny?
Oh, God, yeah.
It is. I mean, his rant about net neutrality and everything like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, I know it crashed the FCC's website. Everybody went there all at once complaining about it, but it's clever. Plus, at least in that episode, he doesn't just focus on things that are going on in America, so it was kind of interesting to know that the rest of the world is going to shit.
Yeah, everybody.
And I was like, my Facebook feed is not talking about all of this.
Not just us, people.
Maybe I need to expand where I get my news from. But,
so
I kind of don't want to know about all the neo-Nazis who are taking back over in Europe. It's kind of scary. I guess it's happening whether I'm scared of it or not.
You know, it's less scary to know about it now than when they kick through the damn door.
That is true.
That's true. Mm.
That is true.
Especially when they look like kind of like weird werepigs, like from, American Werewolf in London.
Okay. I was thinking Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
No, come on.
Yikes.
Either
one is disturbing. It's a disturbing image to me. But so I'm definitely going to try to go back and watch the shows of that. Sure. We caught up on Mindy Project. It's been a while. You know when we're seeing previews for things that are coming up in next week?
In
Memorial Day.
Memorial Day is coming up.
Coming up and we're like,
wow. It's been a while since you've seen this show.
Yeah. It's a pretty clever show, but it's about to run its course because the two principal characters got together.
And
they haven't gotten married, but at the same time, like, that's usually, it for the show.
It's the moonlighting thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I think Castle proved as long as you still do cases, you can string it along a little more than if you don't.
That's true. That's true. You know, you have drama and intrigue. And Castle's also on my list. We finally caught up on Castle. And bad things happen. Everything keeps coming up, messing up, getting in the way of their perfect wedding that they've got scheduled.
Of course,
But like the place caught on fire.
The venue where they were going to have it. Her dress, also, like a water pipe burst in her apartment and ruined her dress. What else?
They were just running out of ideas.
Castle apparently was in a car crash and allegedly dies in an explosion.
He's not dead.
Right as the episode ends. Shocker. You'd think that's like a big cliffhanger
The whole episode is that Beckett was actually really married back in college and they have to go around and find her
deadbeat. Turns out she went to Vegas.
And got married. She was a wild child back in the day. But it's fun. It's still a fun show
because we know that they are wrapping it up.
Right,
they're
definitely one more season for Castle, and that's it.
Yeah,
have they stated this ahead of time that they're going to be?
I don't think
there's
an official announcement, but they are tying the threads on things.
Yeah,
so
basically the show's run its course, and it's just
they know it, and they're just like, okay, we're just gonna
kicking the skateboard down the hill a little bit.
We're gonna do things for fun for our fans. We're gonna finish it up with all the things that they want to see.
We're going back to the driveway. We're just gonna coast into the driveway.
Okay,
there we go.
Yeah, finish it up.
So we're gonna have that Firefly reunion.
Sure.
No.
Well, maybe.
Damn it.
I'd like to see that. I don't know.
They could all play laser tag or something. Oh, that'd just be cool. People there.
That'd be cool.
That would be really fun. Oh. Just cameos from them. That would be awesome. Be awesome. We also watched a miniseries, half of the miniseries on Jack the Ripper.
Yes, we did.
Is it just called Jack the Ripper, the miniseries?
Jack the Ripper. Well, Michael Caine in Jack the Ripper, the one from 88.
Oh.
The one I love so much.
I remember that one.
It's really good. It's really, really good.
Yeah, and we borrowed from a friend the Blu-ray beautiful edition of it. They just did a remaster version of it.
I've got it on VHS.
Well, yeah, of course you do.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's like my favorite. It's like my favorite Jack the Ripper storyline.
Well, it does a really good job of keeping it accurate. And also, it's an interesting story in and of itself. It doesn't need to be sensationalized
right.
as long as you tell the story right. And so it's really interesting. They go into all
Johnny
the different
Depp, and
theories.
I'm drinking absinthe and I'm solving the crime. Sorry, that's from hell. There you go.
And they're going into the theories of that were the actual theories of the time of who it could have possibly been, and it's just so it's very interesting. You know, this is kind of I agree. It is sort of like the definitive Jack the Ripper story on film. So it's beautiful to watch, and Michael Caine is just chewing up scenery left and right.
Can't wait till part two.
Yeah, so we'll watch part
Phenomenal
two of that
ending.
At some point. We also we're behind, but we watched an episode of Cosmos.
Yes.
Which episode did you see?
We saw the cosmic calendar.
Yeah,
we spent some time like 300 million years ago when the trees.
This is how plants.
Like there were trees and they didn't.
Change the topography.
They could eat the trees and so they decomposed
and then the
volcanic stuff happened in Siberia. Mm-hmm. So that one.
And the trees replaced with, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cosmos simultaneously blows my mind and also makes me a little sleepy sometimes just because like I'm thinking so hard. Then when the episode is over, I'm like, I need a nap.
No. There's a quiz. Thank you.
The Cosmo quiz.
Yeah, the Cosmo quiz. They should have a
Cosmos
little quiz.
Cosmos quiz.
They should. They
not
should.
Like, their what app, color is your boyfriend?
Their app should have a little quiz after the episode. Yeah.
That would be fun. I'm sure they have some of those resources
Which
online.
Which famous astronomer are you? Take this quiz.
God. Jeez.
Find all the secrets to reaching deep space.
Gross.
What?
Sexual. I don't know. It just that sounded not.
It really did.
Cosmos
it really
sexual.
Just came sexual. Or right. Let me jump in real quick with Cosmos. Did you see the Will Wheaton project or the Will Wheaton project?
Where
he actually does a little clip. It's Neil deGrasse Tyson from Cosmos stoned.
Oh, you know, I did see that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, God,
that's
hilarious. They just slow down his voice a little bit and goes, can you hear me? Can you see me?
There's a couple of times.
Just imagine.
When there's like pretty, pretty colors on the screen and I'm like, ooh,
it's like, whoa,
this
whoa.
Is pretty.
It's like, wait, am I at the dentist? What happened? The wall is melting. What's going on?
Yeah, like he was looking at when we were in the Mariana Trench and there were all those like bioluminescent.
Kept waiting for the Meg to come out. Kept waiting.
All those bioluminescent. You know, animals down there, and that was really cool.
The tigers
really
and bears, cool. Yeah.
Not tigers and bears.
There's no bioluminescent tigers, you silly ass.
That'd be cool.
Kind of would.
Yeah.
Also, we went to a couple of food festivals.
See?
We went to Broad Appetit, and it was just like all these different restaurants in Richmond serving like $3 little small plates so you can get little samples of all of their food. And like, I mean, we're talking about like, what did we have that was so good?
Well, like Carrytown Burgers had a stand there.
Yeah.
They had frog's legs if you wanted to be adventurous.
Yeah.
My adventurousness went to the bacon mac and cheese cheeseburger. So it's a burger with bacon mac and cheese on
it
the
It had bacon
wow.
and macaroni and cheese. On a burger.
Yeah, it was...
That's just hipster food there.
Oh my God, it was so good.
Really tasty.
It was so good.
Didn't need a spoon for my mac and cheese.
They had all different kinds of barbecue sandwiches, and they had just like such a huge variety of food. Lots of different seafood and different things that you could try. We were upset because one place had bacon-wrapped brisket, but they ran out of it like before we got there. But
And I tried new things, but you know the alligator cheesecake didn't quite make up for it.
Really?
Yeah. I actually enjoyed that alligator cheesecake
very
much. I didn't
say it was bad.
It's a savory. It almost was kind of like cross between a cheesecake and a quiche, but it was so good.
My favorite thing that day is restaurant Lucy's had a sandwich they called the Baxter, which made me giggle because that's a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically a pot roast sandwich with pickles, caramelized onions, and like some cheese just melted on it and clinging. It was beautiful.
Other than the onions, that sounds pretty good.
Caramelized onions are great, but yeah.
Yeah, it was just a fun time. But we made up for the fact that we missed the first time the bacon wrapped brisket, because today we went to the Bacon Festival.
The second annual.
Richmond, I tell you what, has food festivals. If you're if you like food, if you like beer, Richmond is the place to be, because there was tons of beer there too, but there was all things bacon, like bacon ice cream, bacon coffee, bacon covered chocolate. Chocolate covered bacon. I said that backwards. Okay. I was like, wait, that doesn't make sense. And I had bacon mac and cheese.
Yep.
We finally got our bacon wrapped brisket. There are these little bites wrapped in bacon. They were so good.
Some kind of little sauce thing that I don't know what it was, but it didn't matter because it was bacon. Good. It was a brisket that was tender.
They had bacon wrapped around avocados and jalapenos and like anything that you could imagine. What else?
What about bacon wrapped around bacon?
You know,
I just didn't have bags of bacon.
I have said flavored before bacons. That I'm a huge fan of bacon wrapped bacon. Unfortunately, no, but. A little on the adventurous side, I had a slider. I had a slider that was grilled watermelon and bacon with arugula and...
Can you just hear my facial expression change for that one?
It was awesome.
They called it like a WBLT, watermelon BLT. It was so good, but it was grilled, so it had that like sweet but salty going on at the same time.
Yeah, it was
so
really
yum.
Effing good. It was really effing
good. Wow, I think my arteries are hardening just listening to this.
Well, see, a lot of these only had a little bit of bacon, just the flavor of the bacon.
Yeah.
I had this really good watermelon salad that had bacon in it. Well, like the bacon was in a bacon bowl on the bottom of it.
It was a bacon bowl.
So they had the ratio of watermelon. The bacon bowl in it and then the water. Yeah.
Yeah. The bacon needed to be cut up in that one, but still, it was very, tasty. Very tasty. Tasty. Yeah. And they also had ice cream and funnel cakes and those kinds of things that you find at normal fairs.
Yeah.
You know, I had an icy to help kind of like at the end of the day. It was a little bit warm, but it was fun.
And if you remember me bitching about this festival last year,
yes,
it was a lot better.
It was like six times the physical space.
Yes.
Good.
The entrance that we came in, it was so much just better organized, more volunteers. Yeah. They had multiple places where you can get tickets for beer, because that's the thing, you can't just walk up and buy a beer with money.
No, no.
You have to get the coupons. And then you got to go to the actual beer vendor. But just this worked so much better. We walked right up basically and got tickets.
Good.
It took less than 5 minutes to get the wristband and the drink tickets, and the longest I waited in line for a beer was 2 minutes.
Outstanding.
It was really nice. And the longest line that I stood in was for the mac and cheese, which was so good. But it was moving fast. They were super efficient. They were just ready to go. So, all of the vendors did a great job.
So the first year was just kind of like, all right, let's put this together. And second year was like, okay, you see everything we did last year? Let's not do that again, and let's do this instead.
We never went somewhere and had someone tell us nor see a place be out of food, which last year when we got there,
ran
an hour
bacon.
Into it,
they ran out of bacon.
And you almost didn't go this year. I had to really talk them into going, because last year was so poorly done. But I had been following the website, and I'm sorry, I was like super into this
bacon stalker.
Right? I was following the website. I was looking at all the different changes they were making. I was like, let's take a chance. It's going to be great. I was following
take
my friend
a chance
on Twitter.
On me.
One of my Twitter friends got there at like 10:30 in the morning, so I was like following to see what he was saying about how crowded it was, and it was worth it.
Because what was really cool is because they did expand the area quite a bit, so like all the restaurants and stuff over there, they were also just open. So like, hey, you're here. We've got bacon stuff. Everybody had bacon specials around, so it was like the entire like couple of blocks, the entire neighborhood was just all bacon.
A vegan walked in there and died.
They should have known better.
Yeah.
Fake and bacon.
There was one that said gluten-free on something.
I was like,
it's gluten-free. There's no freaking wheat product in it. It's bacon.
Well, you know,
I saw a picture online once of like a bowl of bacon. They were like gluten-free salad.
Nice.
Crazy. Anyway, so that was good. Now, you might be thinking that I've forgotten, but I saved the best for last. Game of Thrones.
There you go.
Yep.
Wow, this previous episode, the Mountain and the Viper.
Yep.
So you remember when you would play with your Stretch Armstrong?
You know those little toys that you squeeze and the eyes pop out?
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
yeah. If you haven't seen Zombieland, that was the name of it, right?
Double Tap. I don't care.
Always confirm your kill.
I don't care how Inigo Montoya you are.
No, he didn't want to kill him. He didn't want to kill him.
He didn't want to kill him until he said what he wanted to say,
unfortunately, don't get that close to somebody who's three times your size.
If you're going to taunt someone into saying what you need them to say, you do it from a distance.
Yes.
And leave the poker in as you do it.
Right? There's this funny
a couple times.
There's this funny recut of it online where it's like how it should have ended.
Yeah, I've seen
that one. Where they they replay the footage over and over again, so it looks like he takes out the
stab,
and then he's like, and he's done. I think that he should have been satisfied with the death of him without having to...
Of course not. No, that's the reason he took the fight in the
first
place.
He was so overconfident. Yeah, oh, my goodness.
Of course he was, but that was his attitude the entire time.
He certainly had skills. Like, when he first ran out there and was doing all the... twirlingness. I was like,
he's doing
that
yodeling.
Ricola.
He's like,
no, I liked it better the other way.
And I was like, oh, okay,
every
go ahead.
Every flight scene now has to be that sound effect.
Basically.
Go ahead, Oberyn. You know, but then, I mean, even knowing how it ended in the books. Yes. You never know if they're going to do the same thing in the books.
Yeah.
There is a graphic novel that's out that George R. R. Martin worked on that is based on the book. And it was like word for word, panel for panel from that, basically.
Almost to the end of it. Yeah.
And I was not sure how much of that they were going to show. Yeah. I actually had to kind of look away from the screen. I was like, ew.
See, I thought they were going to save this fight for the 9th episode, because the 9th one usually in the show is the big hubbub, the fights.
Everybody knows that.
Your words.
Everybody knows that.
I always thought they were going to save it. And it's like, oh, they're actually going to do the fight today. Okay. Listen,
Spocky.
Splat.
Yeah.
Damn.
There's still plenty left that's coming in the next two episodes. I mean, next episode is definitely going to be the wildling attack on the wall. Hopefully that's going to be the majority of the episode.
Well, yeah,
there'll be a little bit of other stuff there. And I mean, because we already know, they said next time on Game of Thrones.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not spoiling anything there. And then there's there's some great stuff going on. And I want to give a shout out to a second for our friends over at the Beyond the Wall podcast.
What?
And it's at specficmedia.com. Yes, we've played their promo before.
Yeah.
They want their listeners to choose what they think is going to be the final image of the season finale. You know how, like, in the first
credits.
One it was like, no, I mean, before the
HBO
credits
thing,
dumbass. But you know, like, is it going to be like in one we've got Daenerys with her dragons when they first hatch, right?
Yeah.
Then we had another one where it's Daenerys in the mosh pit, and then you think about like some of the different seasons.
Daenerys was in Danzig.
She loved No Doubt back in the day. I'm telling you.
So I mean, and then there were a couple others. Obviously, I can't remember which one was season two. But like, what do you predict? So you send in your entry, and you could possibly win. So I sent in an entry, and we'll see. I'm not going to say what I think it is because I have read the books, and if any of our listeners haven't read the books, it would be a major
spoilers.
So I am not going to say my entry, but I will tell you all in 2 to 3 weeks if I was the winner.
Cool. Okay.
And that has been my Geekiest Week.
The Game of Thrones was the one scene I really enjoyed. Other than Sansa just lying for him and just going,
oh yeah, finally a time for her to do something.
And she grew up in that episode,
right?
You can see here. Oh wow, she just grew up 3 years.
Okay,
now,
girl, you're a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, and the whole hey, so and so died, and the other Stark girl is just laughing her ass off.
So funny.
Oh my god.
And how many times Arya has gotten within hundreds of feet of her family
of something
just to have it all fall apart?
Yeah. But hopefully she'll actually walk inside this time and realize, hey, there's another, there's another Stark.
I doubt it. I think they're just going to walk away.
No. God, I hope not. God, I hope not.
Well, he's going to be like,
reason. Maybe he's going to go, somebody in there is going to be willing to pay for her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's she belongs here. Somebody's going to give me some money, damn it.
Yeah.
I guess. I have no idea what's going to happen.
Or at least a wagon full of chicken.
All right. I also did the Virginia Ren Fair this past weekend. This is the last weekend of it, so it's gone by the time you're hearing this. The Virginia Ren Fair is a small Ren Fair, but it's very well
this
done.
This is one that's in Spotsylvania, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah, it's at the Lake Anna Winery, and it's a very well done but small Ren Fair. It's you can go through the entire thing within 3 hours. They did have nice acts on the stage and jugglers and everybody in costume, and it was just a beautifully well done. Lots of crafts, lots of fairs.
Did you get a pterodactyl leg?
No, I did not get a pterodactyl leg.
Okay.
Ye old. But there were farts there. I don't care how it's F-A-R-T-E-S, but they're the medieval meatballs. But that's how that's
put. I want to eat farts.
Yeah, no. It was like farts. I'm like, I ain't paying for. I can fart all I want for free.
I love them. Yummy, yummy, yummy in my tummy.
Yes. They did have cheesecake on a stick.
Okay.
Yeah.
We need more. Yeah. Meats on sticks.
But there was There was steak on a steak. There was pork on a pike.
Okay.
It's basically. And cheesecake on a stick. I don't know if the cheesecake on a stick thing will be going off too well, but what the hell. I was hoping. I don't know. It's just
it has to be really cold so for it to stay.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I see.
It was dipped in chocolate, so that was, you know.
Oh well, there you go. The chocolate would be the encasing thing.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, right. Yeah. I was kind of hoping it was ice cream. I was like, oh, is that ice cream cold? Oh, it's cheesecake.
That does suck.
Yeah, it does. That suck. I was like hoping it was ice cream. Damn it, I wanted ice cream. I still,
you know, did not get a chance to try it, but they had a bacon banana split today at the festival. Just so you can. There's like a little sprinkle.
Oh, that was the one that had the longest line, Granny.
Yeah, it had a huge line. Huge line,
oh,
dude.
Oh, good God. All right. Let's see. Did see the latest episode of Cosmos with the global warming.
Ooh.
We haven't got to that one
yet.
Yeah,
if you don't believe in global warming, watch this episode. You will.
It's a conspiracy.
Oh, it's a conspiracy. All right, sure.
Yeah.
That whole heating the planet up thing. It's a conspiracy.
You're a science. It's so fake. That's why we still use E equals MC squared.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What? And other science facts that aren't challenged at all in any capacity. Mm-hmm. Sorry, not to be on the soapbox.
The episode that is happening this evening, the day evening when we're taping this episode, is the last one
of
Cosmos.
Oh, okay.
And they don't. There is nothing in the works right now for them to renew it or bring it back or anything. Which kind of breaks my heart a little bit.
Well, I guess we'll all just have to start watching Reading Rainbow. There you go.
It's not the same. It's not
could
the
be.
Same.
You don't know.
No.
He might wear the Geordi visor. Might be better.
No.
Might
no. be better. God, no. Please, no.
And swimming trunks.
And only those two things? Giggity.
Wow, I wasn't.
Wow, where are you going
He's
with this?
He's a good-looking guy.
Okay.
No. Definitely don't want to see that.
Permission to come aboard.
Speaking of. Wow. Speaking of Star Trek alum, the Will Wheaton Project.
Will Wheaton.
Yes. Two episodes of that, and it's actually pretty funny. It's kind of like The Soup and Tosh.0, how they do the videos and things like that. And it's kind of like what we do as well. How they kind of riff on stuff.
Sure.
It's a good show. He actually has some chops there, which is kind of nice. I didn't know what to expect. He was either going to just totally tank it,
not Will Wheaton,
or he was going to be pretty good. Which is I'm glad to say he's actually pretty good at this show.
Okay, so we should give him some tips. He should come on the show with us.
He should.
Yeah, hey,
he
Will
should.
To come promote his show. He should be on our podcast.
Huge fans, dude. I mean, like back in the day. From back in the day, huge fan.
I'll tweet him.
We didn't travel, on a bus for 8 hours to see you at this con, but
No, I just went to the theater and watched Stand By Me in theaters.
Oh, wow.
That's a good movie.
Wow.
It's a damn good movie.
Let's see. The only video game I've been playing recently has been Mass Effect 2. I just picked
Electric
that up.
Electric Boogaloo? Yeah. Okay.
I also picked up Mass Effect 3 because they were all like, one was $5, the other one was $9. Okay. Bucks. I was like, heck yeah, I'll pick them up. The little bit of time I do have to play that game right now because I've been doing a lot of woodworking projects. Doing cornhole.
Woodworking. Woodworking. Doesn't quite work, but it's so fun.
You're not even trying.
It was just W's.
Doing some cornhole boards, and if you're in any part but the South, that sounds really, really profane. And if you're in the South, you're like, hey, cornhole, it's a great game. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I cannot say that freaking name with a straight face.
No.
It is fun, and I'm very good at it. It's kind of like skee ball. It's like Southern skee ball.
It's like Southern horseshoes. Kind of like that.
Yep.
Just put a damn toss across board out there and let's be done with it. Let's be done with it.
With one hole.
Toss across with one hole sounds bad too.
It really does.
But not as bad as cornhole. No, not at all. Not at all. Sorry. Yes, we're childish, too.
Yeah, we are very childish. If you haven't paid attention to this point, we do have that 10th grade humor.
It was a long time ago. Mankind has evolved since then.
No, we haven't.
Into us.
Cornhole.
And you have to throw the bags in the cornhole.
Sure. Yeah.
God. I've made 4 sets last week. I have to make 5 sets this week, and it's just like, okay.
So it's in season right now, is what you're
saying. Yeah, it really is. Yeah. It's like, wow. That's what I'll be doing with every moment I have off.
Nice.
Yeah. So, that's pretty much been my geeky week.
Wow, that's Wasn't expecting that to be there.
That's
right.
It.
All right, let's see. Well, some classic movies. I've rewatched some Cary Grant films. His Girl Friday, which, oh my God, is such a wonderfully great film. You have Cary Grant, newspaper man, and his ex-wife, because they just got divorced. She's back to tell him she's quitting the newspaper, but he tries to keep her back for one more story, and hijinks ensue. If you like Moonlighting, you'd like this, because it's that kind of dynamic and that kind of back-and-forth dialogue. Also, another Cary Grant movie, Monkey Business, which, randomly enough, the Henrico Theater is going to be showing.
This weekend,
crazy enough. I was like, oh, that's weird. That's Cary Grant as a scientist trying to basically, you know, come up with a youth rejuvenation formula. And as will happen in movies, a monkey gets loose and accidentally makes the formula that's real and puts it in the water fountain. Whack, whack. Hilarity ensues. It's good that's stuff.
Damn monkeys?
No, I'm telling you. Monkeys get into everything.
Who lets monkeys into these?
Who let the monkeys in?
Well, they were using the monkeys, you know, this was basically the lighthearted, Rise of the Planet of the Apes of its day.
Oh, wow.
Because there's the monkey doing, like, you know, little tests and stuff. And
The lighthearted Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
This would be the kids' version, the kids' story version. Do you know there was an animated Titanic the Musical for kids? Do you know this?
Oh, please, God.
I'm telling you, stranger things have happened.
Oh.
Because we now have a really, really, really fantastically amazing Godzilla film, I decided to go back and watch the only other really, 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 really great, fantastic, amazing American Godzilla film. Some people know it as Cloverfield. God, what a good movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
Cloverfield is. T.J. Miller, dude, yeah. We love you, man. You know, without HUD, that just wouldn't have been the same. So, good stuff. And I think the Mutos and Godzilla, they owe a little bit to that. They owe a little bit to the Cloverfield monster.
It's got that same arm thing.
Yeah, that little weird. Buckaroo Banzai. The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension is something Spencer had never even heard of.
What?
So I had to make this happen because that's just the way life is. And you have to know all about, you know, ovulation over thrusters. I said ovulation. And you have to know that monkey boys are in the perimeter. So you have to know that. So it's good times.
Hey, wherever you go.
I made it through about half of that movie before I fell asleep.
I think that's what it was the first time. Was it too speedy for you? Was it too sciencey?
I don't know. Too late at night.
Too much Jeff Goldblum.
It was at like 8 o'clock in the yeah. evening. I was done.
It was at 9:30. No, not even 9:30. Shit, that would have been an hour and a half. Would have been about over. 8:42. It's like, that's it. Gotta go. No,
peace out.
Gotta go. So Crossing, something that I kind of wanted to see because I was interested in the idea, but I knew it wasn't going to be that good, and it didn't disappoint me, would be The Purge. Remember this? The Purge?
Yes.
One night, you get 12 hours and get to go. That's a movie that could not figure out what it wanted to be. It could not figure out what its message was supposed to be because it's not scary. And it's trying to say things, and I just don't know what it was supposed to be.
Well, they'll probably figure out in the second one.
Yeah, I wonder about that. Interestingly enough, the closing credits, you get like different radio reports and stuff, different news clips that are playing, talking about this particular night and how it seems to be a little different and how, you know, there were more people gathered in places as groups or whatever. And it made it sound a lot more interesting than the movie itself I just watched.
Oh, right.
So, because you would think it's actually about rich people and how rich people need to stick together. It's very strange. It's very strange to break it down like that. Hannibal. I have finished this season. Wow. That show.
So you're all caught up on Hannibal?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Waiting now for season 3. They said there's going to be one, and I just can't wait because now we're getting closer and closer to the book, Red Dragon, because we have now had the moment, the flashback that's in that book of Hannibal Lecter almost gutting Will Graham completely. So he stabbed quite a few federal agents and is now on the lam, if you will. So this
is
not.
He's not eating the lamb. He's just on it.
No. So this next season will not be a Hannibal Lecter who is quiet and hiding and working with in plain sight. This is going to be him out doing whatever the hell he wants to do. So I have no idea what that's going to be like, but I can't wait to find out.
Harvesting farfa beans.
The two games that I'm playing the most right now, Gamefly just sent in Sherlock Holmes versus Jack the Ripper, which led to us watching the Michael Caine Jack the Ripper thing.
Okay.
But interesting, I've always been fascinated with the Jack the Ripper case. I've read more books about that than probably any other subject in this world. It's very, very strange.
You really were meant to be a ripperologist.
Apparently so. And in this game, it's strange because I found out that this is like the fifth one of these games they've made. That as far as adventure game series goes, this is one of the, like, in the top 10 or 15 most profitable overall. They've made several more after this. And in fact, coming out, I think in a week or two, is a game called Crimes and Punishment Sherlock Holmes, which is the newest version of this game that is now going to adapt and put what they call Sherlock Vision, basically making it more like Stephen Moffat's Sherlock, but it's still set in Victorian times. So based on what I'm enjoying now just in this from a game that's like 4 years old, I can't wait to see what that's going to be. So that's a little interesting. And they've changed it now, but the last free game that was out there was Saints Row 3.
Oh, wow.
So, hey, Bruce, how much did you really like Grand Theft Auto 3?
I didn't play it.
Really?
Nope.
Oh, my God. How could you possibly have missed out on that?
Don't like
Okay, well, here you go. Saints Row 3. If you like Grand Theft Auto 3, you will love what I can consider this. It's just an homage. It's because it looks like it. The map looks like the map from Grand Theft Auto 3. There's nothing really wrong with that, but it is not in the now more serious and nuanced Grand Theft Auto 5 or even 4 that they did. But there is something really cool about just taking a mission randomly to be in a tank and just blow shit up, and your mission is to do like $250,000 worth of property damage.
How hard is that?
That's not as difficult as you think. Not as difficult as you think at all. So yeah, that's pretty much been my geeky week, except of course for the fact, you know, two of us, because somebody didn't go, I don't know why, two of us went to Balticot.
Yes, you did.
Had ourselves a fantastic time. Hunt Valley, Maryland. I forget which number of Balticon this was. I'm sure you look 40, it up, Bruce.
40th something.
Oh, it's. I'm sure it's. Was it really? It's not. We're not the 75th. No, it's not the 75th. I'm just being silly. But yeah, we were down there 3-day weekend con, those are always a little weird, always a little strange. It's been a couple years since we've been, and I hadn't forgot how much fun it was. But damn, I realized being there just how much I'd missed how much fun I had.
There are people that we see at that one that it's pretty much only that one. It's definitely the podcasters. Convention, for sure.
We roll in Friday night, and we missed it the last time we were there, but T and Pip over at the hotel they're at, there's this hotel with a big outdoor grilling area, stone grill-looking thing. Oh, yeah, wow. Nice. And he's nice. Over there being grill master extraordinaire. Let me tell you here and
everybody,
now.
Everybody, all these people brought all this kind
so
of food.
So much food.
It wasn't just hamburgers and hot dogs. They had like steak and ribs and chicken and everything you could want.
Anything you could possibly have want. And I'm here to tell you here and now, T. Morris can grill a goddamn good burger. Let me tell you
that. All right. Now, I'll take your word for that. So until next time I see him, then I go, hey, grill me a burger.
Bruce doesn't believe you challenge, so mail him a burger, I guess.
Yeah, mail me a burger. Email me a burger.
Why not? So,
and that was nice because we got to see Starla and Chooch and Viv and just kind of catch up with everybody in like a
pre-con party, if you will.
Activity.
Yeah.
And you had a panel on Friday night.
I did have a panel on Friday night it was when I looked over the Balticon schedule, Zan Rosen. We've had Zan on the show. You remember Zan.
Okay.
You remember Zan.
Yeah, Zan.
Zan was the only one on a panel that was entitled Sci-Fi Films of the 70s. And I thought, holy hell.
Yeah.
That's me right there. And then there was like five or six of us on the panel. Yeah. It was crazy. This panel was completely packed. All the seats were filled, and people were standing along the side.
Really?
For this panel. And
I was walking away from it, and I hear people go, what room are you going to? Oh, Belmont. I mean, it was like they had all this buzz for this random-ass panel.
It's Hall H all of a sudden.
Apparently. So people were very interested in the topic of sci-fi films in the 70s, and, you know, we basically went from...
Battle Beyond the Stars?
Well, you know, it's the 70s in general. It was because in the 60s you had all the counterculture stuff, so space film stopped being so hopeful, optimistic, we're exploring, we're conquering, and became that more of that introspective, things all became desolate and just, you know, Logan's
Dystopia.
Run. Future world, all this stuff, you know, but then by the end of the 70s, when Star Wars comes back, you get to be happy hippie again. So it was, but wow, I was surprised at the turnout we had for that panel. The next morning at 9 o'clock in the morning?
Yep.
At 9 o'clock
in
the morning.
That was a dumb idea.
Yeah.
Well, it worked out kind of good. We had a panel entitled, But Honey...
It's for the studio. So it was all about like purchases that you might want to make if you're starting a podcast or upgrading your podcast, and how do you convince the other people in your life to let you buy it?
Don't tell them.
No. When you have a joint bank account, that's pretty hard to do.
Damn it.
Yeah, so.
But it was actually a pretty good panel, and that was John Taylor Williams was on that panel with us, and John, was it Duggan, something like
I
that.
Don't remember.
And they were both super knowledgeable and do a lot of things for audio and video producing in their real life too. Right. So it was a very good technical discussion. Like I took some notes as we were in the panel, but it was nice to, you know, the people who were there, even though it was early, were really interested in what we had to say. So it was a good panel.
Yeah. You had to be damn interested to see that 9 o'clock in the morning on a con.
So then, you know, you get out at 9:50 And then we jumped in the car and went down the road and watched X-Men Days of Future Past.
Where was the convention? Was it? It wasn't at the Baltimore Convention Center, was it?
No. Okay. It's the Hunt Valley Inn.
Okay. All right.
Something. Yeah.
It's the Hunt Valley Inn. It used to be owned by.
Oh, okay. It used to be owned by them. Okay.
And
right. So
it's actually nice because there's like this little shopping center right across the way that has like a Noodles and Company and Chipotle and everything, and they have almost every. It's a very good, convenient location.
The reason I ask because I was in Baltimore recently. I was driving past Camden Yards, and then it's like, here's the convention center. I wonder if that's where Balticon's going to be.
That's
a week early.
That's where they do BronyCon.
I'm really, really early.
Yeah. So we'll talk about the movie obviously later.
Right. But we also had the show on Saturday, on Sunday.
Yes. No, the show.
I don't even remember because I remember we didn't have things for a few hours, so we're like, we're gonna run over and watch the movie real quick because you know tons of people at the con had went to the Midnight Thursday thing and people wanted to talk about the movie. And damn it, when were we going to if we didn't right then?
Right. It was actually Sunday that we had our show.
Okay. So what the hell did we do Saturday?
So Saturday we actually didn't have a whole lot. I mean, it wasn't. No. I had a panel later on in the day, like 10 p.m.
Wow.
I think I took a nap and we walked around the dealer room and we hung out with just people and went to panels. I think.
Yes. We went to a ton of panels, which was a good time. I didn't have any panels on.
You just had that schedule? One. I That's had your crazy. Schedule right here. You just had that one.
Yep. Weird. Maybe I said it on some. I don't remember where we were. Because being 3 days, it kind of gets a little weird. It kind of gets a little inebriated. Strange. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you're talking
inebriated.
About.
Inebriated.
I have the slightest idea.
Well, my panel at Saturday night was at 10 o'clock at night. So it was also not a... And I mean, they don't do where... 10 o'clock and up is all BDSM. It was just regular normal panels.
Yeah.
And so it was about like the best of 2013, like in podcasting and like different audiobooks and stuff to be listening to. There weren't that many people in the audience, but that was fine because like later on in the convention, I was in one that was like 2014 in podcasting. So I got to reuse a lot of the same stuff, but it was a good conversation. Like Scott Roche was on the panel with me and he's a good friend of the show and just kind of, it was a good time.
Saturday night was the dance party.
Yes.
In the con suite. The con suite got a DJ up in there. What? And it was funny because, you know, I've been...
Balticon Beats.
I've been one of you, okay? I've been one of you. So when I say this, I'm laughing with you because you have to laugh at this. So like this girl comes up and goes, what do you mean there's going to be a DJ here? We normally play werewolf here at midnight. Like, well, we go to 1 a.m. So she's like, maybe your werewolves could dance. I was like, well played, sir. Well played.
Yeah. I mean, there's lots of other little nooks and crannies where you can go, but it's hard when you don't have an official like booking for a room and you just historically have been able to use it.
The con suite does have a schedule set up to where you can role play, but it did have it up there that there was going to be this dance party. So I feel you, but there's a schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sunday was by far our busiest day. We started at 10 in the morning, and that's when we had GRD.
Yeah.
So it was hard because it was early and... I know that everybody works really hard at Balticon. I'm not trying to give anybody crap, but they had the text version of the schedule as far as like what was going to be where.
Yes.
And then they had the programming grid, and they had things in the text schedule that were not on the programming grid.
Yes.
Like Geek Radio Daily.
We were not in the programming grid.
We were in the text version of the program, and a handful of people made it there because we talked to them throughout the convention and said, hey, come to... So the combination of being super early in the morning and not being on the programming grid...
Why is we keep getting stuck at like 10 o'clock in the morning?
Jason asked that very question.
Yeah. I mean, I guess maybe when we start to do our initial registration for these kinds of things, I'll start telling people we need to be later on in the day.
And here's something that threw me, and this is a wonderful sitcom moment where two people have a conversation and both get a completely different understanding
of it.
When I asked the question for Balticon for setup, and I was like, oh, okay, so yeah, in the room we're going to be in, and like, oh, yeah, you know, it's wired for sound, we got the mics, like, oh, awesome, because, you know, that's all we need is that, you know, and just, you know... And we'll bring the thumb drive and be great. You know, we'll get our recording, blah, blah, blah. Fantastic.
Like the room in Dragon Con where they do all the podcasts.
Yeah.
Balticon has always historically had everything all set up and they record it and you just give them a flash drive and you get your show.
So the room that we were in was not that room.
Uh-huh.
But this room was also wired for sound with microphones and stuff. I'm like, okay, well, that's kind of cool. And then what I learned talking to the people at Balticon again is, I was like, yeah, because we don't have the other room. But I was like, well, they're both set up exactly the same. And I'm like, what are you talking about? No one was set up to record. They did not have someone set up to record at Balticon this year. And apparently they still did last year. And I even saw Rob, you know.
Right.
And I was like, oh, hey, look, Rob's here. We're going to get recorded. And no, but so it was awesome. So Jason from Talk Nerdy to Me had his little mixing board and stuff, and we rigged it. We just rigged it and was able to record the show.
We are always MacGyvering some GRDs together at conventions.
God.
Because it never occurred to me to bring anything I've ever needed to do
was
my laptop.
It was nice because it was later on in the convention, so we had plenty of time, and you could trip over a podcaster on any hallway, so like, plenty of people had their equipment.
Does anybody have any podcasting equipment? Oh!
Right.
Everybody's throwing stuff at you.
But Jason definitely saved the day.
Indeed. So, and he was surprised that we wanted him on the show. I'm like, no, go, sit down. Come on, you've worked. You might as well sit down.
Might as well be on the show. So he had a good time, I think. So that was fun.
So, yes.
And Laura Nicole Spencer was the other guest on our show.
Okay.
Right? And she's very talented, and you should check out her stuff.
Yeah. She fooled us. I didn't win.
Oh, okay.
I did not win.
Oh.
Damn.
Well, I didn't win either, so.
The greatest moment, though, is the
Jason won, and so and Viv was playing with him, so they both won.
Ah, but the greatest moment of the entire thing was, you know, because we do the entire show live, as you're well aware.
Yes,
we
I'm
do
quite
it
aware
just like you hear it.
Yes.
So the commercial break and everything plays.
Yeah.
So we're playing the Beyond the Wall podcast. We're pimping our people.
Yeah.
And that's when Viv walked in.
Mm-hmm.
It was
when
her
she's
voice
talking
over the loud, like so
she
we have,
walks in and she's talking.
And she's like, "Whoa, that was surreal."
So, guys, what else happened on Sunday? Strawberry Girl.
Sorry.
Yeah.
At noon on Sunday,
Baker around that.
I was on a panel that was called "What to Do After Recording Your Podcast."
Publish it.
Right. Drink. Well, I was the moderator on this, and that was actually a really good panel. So yeah. it was talking about that whole like what kind of format are you using for publishing? How do you get it out to people? What kind of tagging do you need to do? You have RSS feed encoding, and Command Line was on that panel with me,
nice.
And that was a really good one. And I got a couple of ideas for different things for us to do as well.
Groovy.
Yeah. And then I had one back to back on that. I had that was that 2014 in podcasting. What was awesome, and that it was just cool because I was able to write down some new things that I hadn't heard about. Welcome to Night Vale is like the thing right now in podcast audio. So if you are not listening to that, you need to check it out.
Because there will be a test later.
And then you had one at 3:00 on Sunday, Oz, The Yellow Brick Road Never Ends.
Yes, talking about all the various different Oz movies and things, because Oz stuff is still coming up. You know, because you have the animated one that just happened. There's another live action one coming out.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Stop it.
It's been Ozed out. We're done with Oz.
That's part of what we were talking about and about that. And again,
there's so much else in the universe, and they keep telling the same basic story.
Yeah. That's the whole point of it, and something we were delving into people because most of the people there did not read the books. They know the movie.
Yeah.
They know the one movie.
Yeah.
And
I mean, it's iconic for a reason.
Yeah, and so they were quite, some of them were quite fascinated with some of the stuff we had to tell them. And they had a screening of His Majesty the Scarecrow King of Oz right afterwards, which is a 1927 silent film from back in the day, so you get a different look at Oz. So so that's cool. But no, they are finally doing another one, which is going to kind of be a sort of remake of Return to Oz and the actual second book, even though Dorothy really wasn't in it that much. So yeah, good times.
And then I had another panel on Sunday at 6 p.m. that was When New Becomes Old. And this is a good example of a time where you should read the descriptions and not just the title of a panel, if you're ever going to be on a panel. Because I was thinking it was like it was for like veteran podcasters and how do you keep your show fresh and, you know, mix it up and cool for your audience. No, it was about, in general, new media. Like, as new media isn't so much new media, what do we think is going to be next? And what's going to be the next new media? And so it was a very good discussion. Jared Axelrod was the moderator of that one.
Good
but
times.
I just I winged it and I did just fine.
Whew.
And
good
then times. Also on Sunday you had films of Edgar Allan Poe.
Yes, another good one. Getting to talk about the things that people have not really seen. And someone, it was really great right off the bat. Someone was like, "Well, they don't really make these anymore. Why don't they make Edgar Allan Poe movies anymore?" I was like, "Well, at Cannes this year, however you want to say it, there was this one that's coming out." And he's like, "Oh, really?" So good times. And again, right afterwards, they started screening like nothing but Edgar Allan Poe films in that room. So it was really awesome.
Oh, that was pretty cool.
Excellent.
And then Monday, we had the State of Science Fiction and Fantasy on TV. We were both on that panel with Christiana Ellis and Zan.
Doing pretty good.
And then you had right after that, storytelling and video games.
Yes, which was an awesome one. Some people actually in the industry talking about it. And, we got to surprise the audience. We told them, well, video games have always had stories. They were pretty much, just in the instruction book.
Yeah.
Or the arcade game, that one little thing, that one little paragraph.
I mean, finding out the princess is in another castle.
Oh, my God.
Story.
That was so tricky. You thought you got to the end of it. You thought you saved her, but no. But no, that was a good panel talking video games and some of your favorite storytelling moments in games and what can you do next and blah, 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 that kind of shit. So good times.
If you're listening to podcasts and you want to meet your favorite talented authors,
we will be there next year. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
But I'm just saying, Memorial Day weekend, Baltimore Hunt Valley Inn, it is always a super fun time partying, Hanging out with friends, it's a good time.
Absolutely.
From Alderaan to Krypton, from Castle Grayskull to the Gates of Mordor, from their lips to your basement, to your underground lair, it's GRD News.
Well, if you have the Android Play Store and you haven't yet picked up our app, you should. It's cool and awesome. In addition, we just recently added, and this was something that I learned about from talking with some other podcasters at Balticon, was this new service, a new idea called Patreon, right? And it's not necessarily all that new.
Well, no, not new because, you know, Ryan had sent us notes about it before, but here was a, you know, a better application and explanation.
It finally was explained to me in a way that I was like, oh, okay, you know, we need to do this. So how this works is we have never been interested in charging money for GRD.
No.
It's never going to be, we have to release content and you have to pay for it in order to get our content.
No.
We know that we're not that great.
No.
And that there's lots of other podcasts
some
out there.
In a room.
And that, you know, we're just whatever. But that being said, you know, sometimes we had to replace our sound card and we have to get more microphones and all these kinds of things. Going to conventions, it can sort of add up. So we thought, wouldn't it be cool if we could give our fans the option of throwing us a little bit of money here and there. So Patreon is set up where you sign up for it and you say, I want to give X amount a month. No matter how many episodes we put out every month, you could just say, you know, I want to give $5 a month or $10 a month or $1 a month.
Buckle yeah. five.
And even if a small percentage of our listeners decide to do this and help us out, it could really go, it could help us to defer the costs. We're also, you know, hopefully thinking about maybe bringing back the daily show.
That would
We
really
haven't help. Forgotten that it's Geek Radio Daily.
Have not.
But this would go a long
and
way
thank
towards
you,
that.
Everyone at Balticon I've never seen before in my life who reminded me of that. Thank you.
Yes. So we know fans are clamoring for the daily show. And it was fun to do, but it's just logistically, you know, something like this. So if you have a chance,
I'm sure
on
we
our,
can do it with a baby
on our main
you're gonna be up that time anyway,
right? Who's gonna sleep? We can do it at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Moo.
Anyway, so it's on the main GRD page, sticky post right there at the top. It's also on our Facebook page. If you hadn't clicked on it yet because you're like, what the heck is this? It's just, it's a cool way to give you the option to help us out in a small amount. But if everybody helps out in a small way, then it really does help make a difference for us. So you should click on the link and check us out. No, just in general, you could go on the site too and you could find tons of other like super creative,
tons
really cool people
really cool
that
people.
You could help them deliver their content to the world. It's just kind of it's not like a Kickstarter and Indiegogo kind of thing where you have to have a goal and you have to meet kind of thing. That didn't seem like a good fit for us. But we wanted to give you episodes and be creative and give you an opportunity to have a way to support us.
So thank you. No matter what.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at
11. Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. So, Ant-Man.
Yep.
We've been talking Ant-Man forever.
Yeah, Paul Rudd was on SNL.
So forever. I mean, I think we were still doing a daily show as how long we've been talking about Ant-Man.
It's been a while.
Getting made, okay?
Yeah.
And Edgar Wright's been attached to this thing for so long, it's damned ridiculous. And now, he's gone.
Yep.
So he's off the project, and that's a whole other show about all these directors who, you know, were just leaving Marvel projects because that just spells bad. We're not even moving on to that. So what we're going to do is, hey, this is not a repeat. Ant-Man has a director now.
Uh-huh.
And that would be the one and only Peyton Reed. That's right. That's right, because when you think Ant-Man and making a new interesting twist on a Marvel superhero movie, you think of the guy that directed Bring It On. That's exactly who you think of. Well, he also did Yes Man, The Breakup, and, you know, he's done some work on Mr. Show and whatnot. But Variety is reporting that, yes, not only is he doing that, but Adam McKay is confirmed to be doing some writing stuff as well for
His name sounds familiar.
Well, that's because you know him.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I'm not going to tell you from what.
This is also the fourth director they've had in this project
so
in the past.
Currently, time's a charm.
Currently,
yes.
Peyton Reed is the director of the film.
Well, I usually don't like to do news stories that aren't quite news stories yet, but it's a development towards the end result of something super crazy cool.
Okay.
So we have a spacecraft in space. NASA has a spacecraft. The ESA's Rosetta spacecraft is about to do something that no spacecraft has ever done before.
Teach someone Spanish?
It's been out in space for a long time in a dormant state and has just recently woken up. It has because...
No.
Not woken up like AI.
Go ahead.
But it has been activated by NASA. And that part went successfully, right? It had been, it had spent the past 4 years or few years in hibernation, 957 days of hibernation. But the reason why it has come online now is because comet 67P, which has a long name in another language that I can't say, has just recently, you know, comets will start out as like a frozen nugget of ice and rock. And then as the sun warms it up, it becomes the, you know, jetting, spewing of dust and gas in a giant tail. We've never really had a spacecraft get close to a comet. This spacecraft is about to orbit the comet and then send down a lander that will actually land on the surface of the comet. We're about to have more information about how comets work than we've ever known in the past. So it's a development towards, it hasn't landed yet. It hasn't started the orbit yet, but the scientists are very excited because all of the lead up steps are going according to plan in this super cool project.
And once people actually get back on the ship, they will find that the name mysteriously had been changed to Event Horizon.
No.
Or V'ger.
V'ger. I don't know. That just if there's not a sci-fi channel movie about how that goes wrong soon, then I'm not doing my job right.
Somebody's not doing their job right.
No.
All right. It's a dream of every Song and of Ice and Fire fan to be in the book and then to be brutally murdered by George R.R. Martin.
Sure.
Yes. Well, he's going to do this.
What?
For two lucky people who happen to pay $20,000. Now, mind you, that money's going to charity. It's going to his favorite wolf sanctuary in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Okay, well, that's good.
And he will give you the naming rights for two characters, one male, one female, to set in the books, the next Fire and Ice novel.
Jesus
and it's you can choose your character station in the world. You can be a knight, a peasant, a whore, whatever. It doesn't matter. But he will kill you. Now, even if you don't have $20,000 to do this.
Right. And I don't.
And you can spend $15,000 to have breakfast with him.
Interesting.
Yes.
I mean, that's a little more reachable.
Yes. Or $7,500 for his hat.
Well.
He better sign it, too.
I don't wear hats that often.
He recently fed pastry to podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, exactly. Thanks. He sent a ticket to the season 5 premiere for $7,500. Or you can get a special t-shirt for $50. Or a thank you card for $25.
Yo.
Yeah.
It's $50 for a t-shirt.
$50 for a t-shirt. There's no mention of how much it would cost to have George R.R. Martin, you know, feed you a pastry. But
apparently you've got to look at him with seductive eyes and go, hello, George.
Yes. Of course, if I was rich at that moment, I would, as soon as George R.R. Martin worked in, he actually got to host a panel with George R.R. Martin.
Indeed.
And as soon as he got to do it, I would have stayed up and just said, all right, I want to know who died. He walks into a room and George R.R. People die.
Crazy. So, if you want to start a Kickstarter for us, there you go. That's one. We'd like that a lot. That's news to us. And you can follow those and so many other stories, you know, there on Facebook, Twitter. And yes, you know those forums at geekradiodaily.com? Yeah, I know. We all know. We know them. And by God, we're going to make it happen. That's all I'm saying. We're gonna make it happen. Yeah. Where's the button, goddammit?
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
We do. And it's voicemail even. So, oh my goodness, let's see what it is.
Hey, geeks. This is Anna. Gattaca is a movie that I saw shortly after it came out. And that it's been something that's been in my mind off and on ever since. It is a very interesting movie, as you said. There's a lot to think about, and I think it has a lot to say. The other thing I wanted to say is that nuclear power plants are not just located near big cities. I don't know how many there aren't located near big cities, but I know at least one is located or was located in rural South Ohio. That was where my grandfather worked for most of his career as a carpenter. I don't know what they needed carpenters for at the nuclear power plant, but they needed a carpenter, and he did it.
Ladders.
Anyway, that's all. Bye.
Reactors.
Yeah, they needed ladders. Is what they what
reactors?
They
the wooden reactor.
Well, you know, they had to. You know, if you start small,
you still need
you work
steps and hallways.
Indeed, indeed. You know, that's sort of been my thought about Gattaca the entire time. I've said that time and time again to people. Like, no, that's a really interesting movie. Yeah, but is it good? I'm like, it's a really interesting movie. It is. It's a fascinating movie to watch. But it's like, that's the thing. You're done with it, and you can think all about it, but.
You wouldn't watch it again.
There's not, unless you're going to watch it with somebody and talk about it, there's not really a reason to watch it again. There really isn't. You get the whole experience the whole way through. But no, it has a lot to say. And, well, I guess for the other thing, if the military would stop chasing, the military usually closer, that amount of military closer to cities than they are rural areas. So they would be fighting Godzilla there. He'd get tired and nap, which is still closer to the city for nuclear reactors.
Well, I think it has to do with, you know, the coast. He was on the off the water, came from like the Japan area to Hawaii to San Francisco kind of area. So around in those parts, I don't know, it just seemed like, I don't know, convenient that it was a major city and all of that going on. But yeah. Indeed.
Well, that's how that is. If you have crazy theories you'd like to discuss with us or anything else you'd like to say at all, please drop a note to podcast Billy Flynn, the Bruce Flynn, just on at geekradiodaily.com or send a voicemail to
510-GRD-CREW.
And it's where to?
510-GRD-CREW.
And we'll see you right after this.
Do you like listening to audio science fiction? Are you a fan of writers reading their work? My name is Mike Luoma. By day, I play tunes on the radio. The rest of the time, I'm creating science fiction and comic books. And I bring my two worlds together each week with my glow-in-the-dark radio podcast, where I read you my stuff. You hear free science fiction audio adaptations every week. And I give away the audio versions after I've podcast them, too. Free science fiction audiobooks on iTunes and at podiobooks.com. I hope you'll check out my glow-in-the-dark radio podcast or any of my free science fiction audiobooks at glowinthedarkradio.com. I'm Mike Luoma. Thanks for listening.
Hey, this is Ben Browder at Dragon Con, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily. Rock on.
We've destroyed the world with our bickering. We must go back in time to prevent the mutant war.
But how, Charles?
There is a boy with the power to take us into the past. A young high school boy.
Go on. What's he wearing?
A sailor's vest.
Delightful.
His name, Marty McFly.
Are you telling me I gotta take a bunch of mutants back in time to stop mutant fighting? This is heavy stuff, Doc.
So let me get this straight. You have a time machine, and you didn't stop me from winding up in a wheelchair.
There are more important matters than our legs.
F*** you.
Look at my beautiful face.
What the hell?
Such soft skin. Snaps right back into place.
Guys, I think my mom's got the hots for me.
Great Scott!
Where is Wolverine these days?
What are you looking at, butthead?
It's an absolute dream.
Get your prom vest on, Marty. We're sending you back to the future, past.
So let me get this straight, Marty. Your plan is to advance upon your mother sexually in such an aggressive manner that she will be frightened and your future father will show up to save her.
You got it. I mean, what's wrong with that plan?
It's revolting in every way.
I like it. Let me know how it turns out.
And welcome back to Journey's Weekly episode
226.
You know you'd watch that movie in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah, you know
movie.
I probably would.
Back to the days of future past.
Sure, sure. I mean, that totally works for me. So, yeah, we have to have a show about X-Men because, well, it's the newest movie that's out there and it's all geeky and whatnot. But holy God, can we take a moment to realize that this is Days of Future Past?
Yes.
Mark this down. This is another unfilmable movie that we as geeks have now seen filmed.
Yeah. It's nice, isn't it?
Crazy.
Once Lord of the Rings hit the theater in the way that it did, it opened up the possibility for almost anything. But, you know, Marvel has been so successful that it's like, yeah, might as well.
So let's give it a shot.
Beautiful, beautiful. X-Men Days of Future Past is an amazing story that happened way back in Uncanny X-Men 141 and 142.
Yeah, back two episodes.
In 1981, when Chris Claremont was behind the whole thing and helping just to raise it up and making Kitty Pryde just completely freaking awesome, if I could just say that for a moment. And yes, it was a wonderful story that is a little different than the movie you might have saw in a couple of ways. Mm-hmm. One, it took place in the far, far flung future of 2013. So
not 2014.
So that was little. Well, you know, it was, what was it, 2023 in this or something?
I think so, yeah.
So I think it's,
I don't know.
I think
if
they
was.
Gave it a little nod. I think they're like, okay, 2013. I'll have to look, but I'm pretty sure. Well, you can find it. Wolverine. And this was always awesome because we got to see an old man Wolverine who had like the Reed Richards
it
Gray
is 20,
temples.
2023.
Really? Movie, okay. Yeah. Okay.
The Reed Richards Gray temples, whose main purpose there was to be completely obliterated by a sentinel.
Yes.
So you could realize just what the stakes were for this story. And it was Kitty Pryde herself who got sent back in time. So
with the help of somebody else.
It was Raven. It was what's her face? Matt and Jean's daughter from the future.
Okay.
Who inherited the Phoenix Force powers in a different way. Good Lord, that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
Whole other story.
I like the way they did it. I think, you know, it fit in very well with all of the previous X-Men offerings. And obviously, certainly, you'll talk about that once we get a little closer to the end.
Well, this is the only other place that's ever existed from comics that was really worth a damn. The X-Men cartoon on Fox.
Yeah.
They did this storyline.
Sort of.
They did it. It was like, oh my God, it's the closest we'll ever get. And so they announced that they were doing this movie. I just thought it was crazy.
You squeed like a little fanboy.
Quite a bit through this because, you know, yeah, I am a fanboy, so give me the stuff that I want. And we start off, there's Bishop, there's Blink, there's shit happening, we got weird timelines.
The Sentinels were fully scary, not really knowing anything about them, seeing their size, their adaptability, the fact that, I mean, they were designed to be the killers of anything.
Yeah.
And that was creepy.
And they
were not the Sentinels that we're used to seeing
right.
in all the other cartoons and all the incarnations right. of it. So
it kind of looked a little bit like that fire dude from Thor, the first Thor movie.
Oh.
A little
okay.
bit.
Dominator? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. I can sort of see that. But yeah, they had a slightly different look, a slightly different look to them. But we do get to do the thing. This time it's Wolverine. And yeah, this is the movie that's going to take both parts of this franchise.
Yeah, and seam them together.
And try to heal and move forward and grow. So Wolverine gets sent back in time, and this is why you couldn't have Kitty Pryde do it, because, well, she wasn't born at the time she was
also
sent
didn't
back
have too. The nice of an ass.
And there you go. That's
there
Bruce.
You go.
He cannot see. When he walked through the door, he was like, oh my God, did you see that 3D ass? He has not been able to shut up about his ass. You okay? You're going to be all right?
I think I'll be fine.
Okay.
I was okay with it.
Whatever. So he's gone back in time. So stop me if you've heard this one before. And he's got to prevent the big future thing where, because as it happens, the Sentinels not only, not only do they kill Senator Kelly. Oh, wait, the comics. Not only do they kill Bolivar Trask.
Yeah.
But then they go on. You know, basically, the Sentinels are like, oh, well, the problem is that mutant gene that's being carried around. That's being carried in by these human beings.
Yes.
So let's kill anybody with a mutant gene.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's the whole future's wiped out and we have robotic overlords. This was the Terminator of the X-Men storyline.
Pretty much, yeah.
So
in the Animatrix.
Sure. You could see that as well. So, yeah, he has to get the old gang back together, and things have changed since we left the group last.
A bit.
Just a bit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, we see the aftermath of, you know, I mean,
First Class.
Right. First Class was great. And I'm like, wait a minute. Why isn't he in a wheelchair? You know, and then you kind of find out like all of that's been going on and Beast is still around, but everybody else is basically scattered. You know, Mystique was with Magneto for a while. I mean, you see her join up at the end of First Class, but then he is in jail, which is kind of cool to see his precursor to the plastic jail. I mean, he's always getting stuck in a plastic jail, but it just doesn't hold him.
There's always something.
There's always something going on. So that was kind of interesting, this whole sort of, you could really see how First Class could have led into the first X-Men movie.
Yeah, with some
continuity
issues, but yes. Right.
Well, after what just happened.
Yes, no problem.
Certainly, you know, kind of closer to
that. Now, do you think it was to the detriment of the series that we didn't get another younger X-Men adventures, or is it cool that we went ahead and just jumped into this?
I would have liked to see another younger X-Men adventures. Doesn't mean we can't, though.
Right.
Except that we kind of can't, you know?
We're going to get something when the next one comes out, but I don't know what kind of cast we're going to have in that one. Because it's not going to be Iceman. You're not going to have, you know, you can have Beast, but who knows? And how are they going to do Cyclops? And I'm just kind of jumping forward a little bit there.
Well, we still have Havoc because we saw him in the film.
Yeah.
He's there for a moment.
Yeah.
So he's still out there, so we could get him back.
Mm-hmm.
But what did they say happened to Banshee? Did they say? He's dead.
He's dead.
So he's gone.
Yeah.
You saw Angel's wings.
Yep.
So somebody ripped those the hell off of her.
Yeah, so she's dead. Azazel was dead.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that maybe we'll get him in a flashback, because at some point we have to see Mystique hook up with him.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, her kid has been established.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we saw her kid in one of the other movies.
Yes.
You don't know who that is, do you?
No.
Nightcrawler. Mm-hmm. If you read the comics.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's the parentage right there.
That makes sense.
Well, we never knew who the father was. We never knew who the father was.
Yeah.
It was never really stated, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but we knew the mother, of course.
No more Emma Frost.
No.
She's gone.
Where did she go?
Didn't they say they killed her too?
I thought so.
I'm pretty sure they said they killed her.
Okay,
I was like, okay, because she was not good in that role. She just was not.
Fine actress, just not good in that role.
That was not a good role for you at all. Mm-hmm. No, not in the slightest. And they kept his coin that mm-hmm. he used.
Yes.
On you know, talking really about different additions to the scene, who was the one, the silvered hair, fast one?
Quicksilver.
Who was surprisingly really, really good in this movie.
This was super fun, yeah.
Yeah, the sequences with him were so much better than the still pictures of him, mm-hmm. of him in the goddamn Hardee's commercial.
Or Carl's Jr., depending
anywhere
on
else, yeah, wherever you are in the country. Anywhere else that he's been in, no, he was actually quite entertaining, even though the hair
smart
still
ass,
looks goddamn ridiculous.
But not too, I mean, just enough. Swagger.
Hey, I think my mom knew somebody who could.
Yeah.
That was wonderful little moment.
Why do you ask questions to which you already know the answers?
Basically.
That was such a great.
I loved the time in a bottle.
I will never hear Jim Croce's time in the bottle the same way again in my entire life.
No.
That was the perfect choice for the time period, and it was nice to get to see it in his slowed mode, bullet time kind of mode. That was awesome.
Because even that effect, thanks to The Matrix and everyone trying to do it afterwards, has sort of been overdone. This was mm-hmm. a much
it
more interesting
right.
way of seeing it.
It was done right.
Right.
So yeah. Yeah, so that was nice. That was a nice little nod to comic readers there.
Mm-hmm. Did you... one of the things that I did catch in the credits, and I'm not talking about the final scene yet, no, but I did catch in the credits, and I've read afterwards that there was one character who was taken out but was still left in the credits. Was Miss Rogue herself. She was above in the credits.
Wait.
Yeah.
She did get high billing in the credits. Mm-hmm. She had a very small cameo.
She was there at the very,
end.
Very
yes,
end.
I know,
she
but
like
she
kind
was
of
supposed
turned around.
To be in the movie more.
Really?
Right.
Yes.
Oh.
They were supposed to break her out of prison, and she was supposed to take over for Kitty Pryde because she was hurt.
Interesting.
And I could see that, you know, because I really remember going, wow, Anna Paquin got really high billing in this movie.
Yeah, and was
and
in
she
for
was,
2 seconds.
And she was in the movie less than like Mila Jovovich. I got close on that, right? So I just,
what?
I was surprised.
No. Who does she play?
No, hold on. Not her.
No.
Famke Janssen.
Famke Janssen,
I get
yes.
mixed up with. But like, it was just, I was like, wow, you must have negotiated a really sweet deal here somewhere.
Yeah.
So that makes
that's,
a lot of sense. So she had
why.
Stuff that was cut.
Yeah. Mm. Now, maybe when you get the director's cut, maybe they'll throw that in, but I doubt it because, you know, that does change the story a little bit at the end. So, yeah, that was supposed to happen.
Yeah. And see, now.
And that would have been, yeah, because we saw Kitty Pryde get hurt,
mm-hmm.
but then not hurt enough to be able to finish
well,
the job.
Well, that was the point. He was
right.
supposed to be hurt because it would just take too long.
Right.
That's the reason they cut it out because it would take too long. It would add too much to the movie.
I don't think we needed that. I really don't.
No, but it would have been nice to see a more future-based...
I didn't think we actually got enough overall of the future. I mean,
right.
this seemed to be like the big final battle for them, but it took a while for them to really establish for everyone that this was not only for the good of them, but for everybody, because by that time, at the beginning of that, we didn't know that the Sentinels were after everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so... I would have liked a little more. A break jailbreak scene would have been nice. It could have allowed for a little bit of exposition, but what do you got to do?
Yeah, you're right. We needed a little more time in 2023.
I thought so. That's just
it would have been nice, but you know, it still did work without
mm-hmm.
her in
agreed.
There. But I saw the credits. I'm like, how the hell did she get higher billing than Ellen Page, and she's in the movie for 12 seconds?
Right. Not even 12 seconds.
She wasn't even 12 seconds.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
at first I thought it was just somebody in a wig.
Yeah.
And then she turned the profile. I'm like, oh, that's her. And then it was
yeah.
gone.
Yeah, so exactly.
If it was more than 5 seconds, I would be stunned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah.
But there, of course, then you get the other cameos, but we'll get to that in a second, I'm sure.
Sure, because overall, this told that story, and it told it well.
Yeah.
It told it quite well.
And completely got rid of everything that has to do with the third
Yeah, let's go ahead and go there, right? So
yeah.
So Logan comes back to what's normal time.
Now, what would now be now.
What would be now.
Yeah.
And he's at the school, Xavier School.
Right.
And he's walking all around, and he sees, you know, kids back there again, and yay.
Yeah, he sees the school, first of all.
Sees the
yeah.
school, right? And that's a good thing. And then...
You know,
you see Cyclops. You see Storm.
You see Beast.
They got the whole gang back together. They got everybody.
Yeah, everybody who was in the movie was there.
Yes.
And Rogue and... that's my train of thought. I'm sorry. Somebody else talk. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, what are you trying to make?
I don't know. Okay. But they're there and they're all alive, which is good. And it sort of, what was it that you said that it took it away
exactly
the crap?
Exactly what I wanted it to do.
And completely got rid of X3?
It got rid of X-Men 3 and it got rid of the last half of that first Wolverine movie. Which has cleared the way, so maybe we can finally get the damn Deadpool movie done right.
You know, that would be nice.
Would
be nice.
And if this movie did anything, the thing that impressed me the most is that it's awesome that, you know, the norms, if you will, people embracing comic book movies, geeky stuff.
Yeah.
They've seen reboots.
Yeah.
We've seen reboots a million times.
This is
retcon. We're comic book people.
Yeah.
This is retconning.
Yes. Yeah.
We're changing continuity.
Yes, we are.
And we do this in comics often, so welcome.
Welcome to our world.
I remember being happy with that, too, and going, oh, good, we can get rid of all that other crap that, you know, doesn't even exist.
Maybe we can finally get a damn Dark Phoenix movie the way we were supposed to.
Oh, yeah, good luck with that. Well, maybe after the Guardians of the Galaxy, since you can add that whole outer space thing.
But X-Men and Guardians of the Galaxy are separate movie universes.
I know, but the thing is that now that you can introduce the fact that there are, the outer space aspect, you can, introduce the Tel Shiar and all that.
Okay, so we can get to the very end of it. Let's hear it and do the rest of it. So what were the best things about this movie?
I liked a lot of the nods they had to not just the fans. They didn't just throw things in for the fans. They had nice nods and stuff like that. But it was a good action story. I liked that.
You okay?
No, I just heard a noise go, whoop.
Wasn't that your laptop?
No,
wasn't that your tablet?
So.
Okay, I don't know what that was then.
So
robots are here attacking us. Somebody help. Help.
As long as it's not a sentinel.
Well, yeah, because that would be kind of bad.
I like the interplay between Magneto and Xavier in both time periods.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And just the dynamic of their friendship / their frenemies kind of thing, thing that they've got going on and just kind of their quips and banter and back and forth. I always really like that.
Peter Dinklage.
Yes, he was over. I think he was utilized in the wrong role.
You really wanted him to be Puck, didn't you?
I wanted him to be Puck. And they're going to do an Alpha Flight movie.
He still could be. They're going to make him look different.
But still.
I like the fact that nobody ever said anything about his size.
Nope.
It just was a non-issue.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was not like, you want to know about mutations because you had a defective genetics or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was just, he's just a person. And you never heard any comment whatsoever about him being a dwarf.
But the thing is, you had a Trask in the other movies.
Yes, but in the credits it just said Trask. It did not say Bolivar Trask.
Yeah. So apparently it's some other Trask, because that's such a common name.
Could be. And you don't know what he did in his off time.
No.
No, you don't.
No.
You don't know. The man's name was Bolivar. He had chicks all the time.
Oh, yes, because it's Bolivar.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's a PIMP name.
That's right, because not only is that his name, it's what he does. James McAvoy sold what could have been a whiny, pretentious part.
Yeah.
Absolutely sold it. I do love that weird little moment where they got to talk together. It's kind of a shame that Ian McKellen and Michael Fassbender didn't have a scene together, but what are you going to do?
Yeah, well, yeah, still.
Watch, slash fake. That's fine. That's fine. You can do that. Yeah. What didn't work, in your opinion?
Sorry, I'm busy Googling slash fake.
There wasn't a whole lot that was kind of sticking out as wrong.
No, and that's a good thing to it.
That really was good. I don't know if anything really just screams this was wrong. Mind you, yes, I am going to go back to this. Hey, let's get his butt in the moonlight in the daylight shot. Really? I'm like, okay, fine.
He just got out of bed. Whatever.
It's for the ladies, but, still.
It's not just for the ladies.
Okay.
And they're
for the ladies and a couple other fanboys, all right?
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
It's fine.
It certainly is, and they had no problem playing to that whatsoever.
At least it was just back. At least it didn't turn around.
They wouldn't have done that.
I know. PG-13. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's an aggressive.
Not on HBO.
Well, hey,
Wiener, 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 wiener.
And always stop a wiener, too. And of course, it wasn't basketball either. So, God. That would have been hilarious.
Tragedy there.
I thought Jennifer Lawrence did a good job in the movie as well.
Sure.
Yeah. Mystique. I mean, you know, that was definitely good. And her whole inner turmoil of what she's going to do.
She really shows she could act in this role. Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. She's quite well at that. And possibly trying to get her own little movie. Who knows?
Yeah.
Her little squad of peoples and whatnot.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Doubtful.
So, yeah. So, pants ratings. Everybody want to go ahead to that? Because apparently we liked it.
I'm going to go 8.5.
I was just about to say the exact same thing.
Yeah. 8.5.
Wow. Because it was, you know, as far as like summer movies, I would say Winter Soldier was still my favorite one.
Yeah.
And then this is probably a close second, maybe tied, maybe behind Godzilla, because Godzilla was also really great. So
fantastic.
So they were maybe tied for number two in my book, or very, very close.
All right. All right. So, yeah. So 8.5 all around, because it was fantastic. Yeah. It's a good adventure.
If you haven't
adventure.
Seen it yet and we didn't totally just ruin it for you with talking about it, then you
we
go shouldn't see
have. It. And it's cleared it up. And I can't wait to see where they're going next, because now we can have X-Men adventures anywhere
right. yes.
along that
yes.
time,
in
stream
that time stream
we
yeah.
want.
Because we know what's next. And it's
right.
happening
and it
in the 80s.
That doesn't mean that Magneto and Xavier from the past are totally reconciled anyway.
No, they're not.
They're going to have this huge fundamental divide always and forever. So I think we could get more adventures back in the past.
Indeed. So so let's run some things down real quick, just because interesting note that the 20th Century Fox logo at the beginning started using the X-Men music. Giggle. I thought that was funny. Just made me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
So you keep talking about Wolverine's ass. What about the rest of the stuff that was in that apartment? Because we never got to see where he was. You
yeah.
notice that? But did you notice like all the oriental-ish out things decked out and the kimono and whatnot?
Yeah, well,
the sword.
He was in D.C.
You know he was in somewhere in the States. So.
Right. So, but that means he's come back from.
It's possible.
Right.
It's possible.
So.
Yeah, but exactly who's, well, of course that was his apartment. And, you know, I don't, the whole fact that he walked through is like, oh yeah, wait a minute, I'm not metal.
Yes.
That was, he was like, oh.
That was a little homage.
And something that I think is interesting, and I don't know if they're going to pick this up, but this was supposed to mean something, but those guys that walked in
yeah.
to do the Fantastic Fist of the North Star outline shots on him,
uh-huh.
That guy called him Jimmy. And does he know, is this James Howlett running around? And because he's not Wolverine yet, obviously, but mm-hmm. is this still James Howlett?
Yes, this so, is still not.
So who's this guy, but why would he know him? And calling him Jimmy is, I'm sure, something that he would not appreciate.
Yeah, but I thought the actor playing Stryker, I mean, that whole,
yeah.
this is coming
this
kind of thing.
The Wolverine part where he
right.
loses his memory has not happened yet. So
right.
he's still Jimmy.
Sure, I could see that.
He's still Jimmy that. Now.
Well, all right. Well, that was. I just thought that was interesting. That
he's
guy had
Logan
that kind
yet.
Of idea with him. We had a bunch of cameos, comic book creator cameos. Chris Claremont was in this.
Yeah.
Len Wein was in this. Tons of people were in this. They mentioned a bunch of mutants, and I love they didn't bother to explain for a moment. There were just all these mutants, like at the beginning, and you know, in the war, in the future, and they were just there, and
mm-hmm.
you either just went with it or you did not because.
Yeah.
I just thought it was fantastic that you saw them.
Yeah,
all
you
up
did
there.
Not need Blink's backstory.
No, you really didn't. You just need to know that. Oh my God, why have we not made a Portal movie? That's
right.
That's what you can take from. That's what you can took from that. That's so weird.
I'm tooking.
Right. Okay. I like that they asked Wolverine about if he had kids, and he's like, "I hope not." You know, there's so many around there. You know, so
oh,
many
God,
there. You know, so many around there. Now, Quicksilver's sister.
Mm-hmm.
Is that supposed to be Scarlet Witch? Because I don't think she is, but she's in red.
I think they were kind of hinting at it, but I don't know if that's actually her.
Right?
So, I don't know.
I don't know. So we need that one. We need that to come back. We need someone. Stryker was in it, and
mm-hmm.
that was nice because that does tie together.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, X-Men 2.
How about your son? How's your son doing?
That was so incredibly crazy. It was just, I could
yeah.
not even begin to understand how they were able to pull that one off. I like when you came back to the now present.
Yeah.
That instead of Kitty Pryde and Iceman, which I had such a problem with at the beginning, it did look like that she was going out with Colossus at the end of that. And I thought that was a nice little, hey, there you go, fanboys. Look, they're together. They're together.
Mm-hmm.
So after the credits.
Yep.
Holy God.
Yeah.
Just like with the Avengers, I think I was the only person in that theater that had any idea what had just happened on that screen.
I knew, yeah, and it's like, the fact that people still leave, I'm like, all right, go away, shut up. I'm not going to tell you to stay because
if they want to see it, they'll see it on YouTube or, should stay.
And of course, they're chanting this name, which I can't remember the name of it. I know it, but it translates.
Yeah.
It's his real name.
It's
his real name.
And whose real name would that be, Bruce?
That would be Apocalypse.
They're doing an Apocalypse movie, okay?
Mm-hmm. Set in the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah. Holy hell, how crazy is that? Apocalypse, in case you don't know, if you're not the crazy, crazy geeks that we are, mm-hmm. Apocalypse, the first mutant, the dude that has all the powers.
He's got a lot of them.
He's got a shit ton of them, is what that is. And that is the Four Horsemen over to his left.
Oh, yeah,
that is the Four Horsemen. Holy hell.
Mm-hmm.
I could not. I was like, so Days of Future Past, and then you're going to jump right into another unfilmable story of a huge crossover, timelines, mutants all over. Insane.
They're chanting En Saba Nor.
En Saba Nor. Yeah. Could not. I'm sitting here going, NORAD. No. Noob Saibot. No, damn it. No.
Nixon.
So the X-Men franchise back in good shape?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Wholeheartedly,
it's in good shape.
So here's a really weird question for you to wrap this thing up on. So what the hell are they going to do now that Quicksilver's here and is going to be in Avengers 2? Huh?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know how they're going to try to pull this off. I mean, you can get Quicksilver into can't get Wolverine over there, but you can get Quicksilver in two movies.
You can. It's a little, it's a mischievous way of doing it. They're stretching it, but they do have a good reason.
And it makes sense that they have a different actor playing him, because if it's like the present versus that was 1973 is Quicksilver.
Sure.
So.
But, I mean, it's just not.
Still a different timeline.
It's different universe entirely.
Yep. And we got to just kind of go with that not all of Marvel has to fit together. Not all of DC has to fit together.
It's understandable. It's just that
Disney.
But, it's weird that Sony has Spider-Man as a universe. Fox has X-Men. And then basically Marvel, Disney now has the rest
Pretty
of them.
Pretty much everything else, yeah.
But, they want that X-Men. And this is such a, okay, we're going to challenge you for mutants now kind of way. I don't know.
Well, they can't call them mutants.
No, they can't. So
what did
we'll
you
see.
Say they were going to call them?
I don't even remember. Because at first, when Quicksilver first, they didn't realize he was a mutant at first. Mm-hmm. You did not know that at first.
Yeah.
So whatever name they called him then, I guess he was, bit by a Roadrunner. No idea.
Radioactive
Roadrunner.
No flipping
idea. Anyway, so yeah, go see the movie. It's quite outstanding. It's quite amazing. It's quite fantastic. Everybody say goodbye to people so I can push the button.
Goodbye
to people.
Goodbye to people. You're a jerk, Bruce. GRD is licensed with Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, United States 3.0 license. Make sure you check us on the Facebook, Twitter, and of course at the forums at geekradiodaily.com. Drop a note to podcast Billy Flynn, the Bruce Flinchers, all at geekradiodaily.com, or send us a voicemail to
510-GRD-CREW.
That's where now?
510-GRD-CREW.
And we will see you in a swink.
You know, people like you are the reason I was afraid to go to school as a child.
Three words. Are mutants dangerous?
I made a terrible mistake.
Don't you people ever die!
I will bring you home, old friend. And I ask only one thing in return. Don't get in my way.
Hey, you! Get your damn hands off!
I think you got the wrong card, bub.
Oh, no, actually, George, it's okay. Really, go away. This guy's abs are the most.
Okay.
George!
I guess you guys aren't ready for that yet. But your kids are going to love us.
No, their kids will want to destroy us and pass the Mutant Registration Act.
I was just trying to say a cool line, Eric.
Save the cool lines for Iceman.
Oh, that was a cool line.
Stop it! You always have to have the last word!
No, I don't. It's you who has to have the last
word.
Shut
up! This is why I hate you! All of you, join forces with me to destroy this pompous asshole!
Guys, this is even heavier stuff.
Marty, the only way to find that kind of energy is to harness a bolt of lightning. Where on earth are we going to find a bolt of...
Don't forget to pick up Rogue.
Where we're going, we don't need Rogue.
What do you mean?
I just wanted to say that. You know, get the cool line.
We need to talk, son.
This is the heaviest.